The biggest sports stories of the week.
I think that is the attitude you should have. But if the first thing you bring up when you look at the standings is Craig Counsell, then he has real estate in your head.
I don't think you can even argue.
Oh, no argument.
The Green Bay Packers, the way it ended,
but like I just said it, like they were 7-8 last year against everyone besides the Bears, right?
Unique and compelling analysis and opinions when it comes to your favorite teams.
As much as they want, because both teams are good and that game to be...
Kyle, you're not feeling this.
Jason knows I'm not feeling
Kyle
it.
Kyle and I have already had this argument. Yeah. You hate that I feel
What else was on the WB back then? What else did I miss?
You probably saw the Wayans brothers, right?
Yeah.
The Jamie Foxx show. Come on now, Craig. Come on, Craig. You know the Jamie Foxx show?
No.
You know,
this is Sunday Karma, broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studios at The Avenue. Here's GKB founder and CEO, Craig Karmazin.
We are at full strength in the new Sunday Karma. Week two, back at it with you. Feel like we might go play a little shorthanded some of the next like 8 weeks in a row.
Two for our first two.
Yeah, I am traveling the next 4-5 weeks, including today, where I'm going to the CFP, but I'm making it. I rearranged the schedule so that I could actually be on the show, and now I'm driving to Chicago after the show so I could be part of the show. Look at that dedication.
Incredible.
Are you going to mock the dedication when I miss the next four shows?
Yeah, I understand that next week it's just me and Kyle. I understand Super Bowl Sunday. Nobody finds it important enough to show up. So
I'll be at the Super Bowl.
Well, are you calling in?
I said I'd be in for the whole show. I would do whatever y'all want.
Do we not have a show Super Bowl Sunday?
No, I'll be here. Oh, I'll be here.
Got it.
Are you here, Kyle?
I guess I'm the only one who doesn't have much of a life outside of here.
Okay, so you're here Super Bowl Sunday.
I don't have any real conflicts. Maybe I'll go to church or something like that, get the devil off me.
So I'm willing to do the whole show from the Super Bowl. I was just told they didn't want me, that I should just call them for one segment.
Whose call was
that? That was not my call.
That's Ashton. That's Ashton's. When I say they, that's Ashton.
It's the suits.
That's the schedule that Kyle is so beholden to.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. The unauthorized show. You are doing an unauthorized show right now. I will not participate.
It may or may not still be authorized or not. I guess this is on the schedule. I guess it's authorized. You big boss man kind of flexed his muscle here and told them this is what we're doing.
Who, Scals?
No, I don't think that's who he was referring to.
It is Greg Scalzo, Alex Strofe, Kyle Wallace, Craig Karmazin, the new Sunday Karma with you. Obviously, we'll talk NFL, we'll talk Bob Uecker, but there's more important things right now that just because the urgency of them, which is, I love how Alex is like, what could that be?
I'm intrigued on where you're headed.
It's the 7-11.
Oh, sure.
We have to get aligned on what's going on with the 7-11. Now, we don't have a contest set up and all that, so I have an alternate idea. Big picture, not just for this week. You know, we had talked about changing the 7-Eleven, trying to AI proof it, trying to Google proof it, trying to make it so that you actually had to predict something in the future, and then we would pay out $100 of cash. And there were actually people who emailed from listening to us saying, I want to sponsor this. You know, we actually got that, which I appreciate that. And when I say people, I mean our guy, John. But I have an idea. Are you guys open to reconsidering the original kind of predict the score, 7 calls? You know, I think you were like, oh, it'd be boring. Someone just would be like, oh, 21-14. All right, thanks for calling. 28-17, thanks for calling.
Wouldn't be boring. I stand by that.
Yeah, I can understand that. I mean, I think we could find elements to make it intriguing. But how about this idea? And I know there's a podcast that may do stuff like this, but we were doing this way before other podcasts were doing it. Smartless. So how about this scenario? How about at 11, the three of you or whoever's here besides me, get 7 yes or no questions to a random guest that I just drop on the phone at 11, and you have 7 guesses to figure out who it is on the phone. And if you guys in your 7 yes or no questions can't figure it out, then we open up to the calls. And they get to ask yes or no questions to be able to figure out who it is.
So this will be a notable individual, right? We're not just having Ron and the Key on the phone, correct?
I don't know if he's notable because you just said his name as if people should know who Ron and the Key is.
Ron and the Key, I do think, is transcended into notable on any ESPN Wisconsin station. Will we hear the voice of the person?
Yeah. The person will be answering. Yeah, they'll be on the phone, and like so you'll be like it. You'll be like, are you a sports figure or are you
We're all very competitive individuals. Like, what happens if we win? What happens if we lose? Like, there's got to be some element of stakes here.
Yeah, are we working together?
Well, I was going to say it works against people who don't show up to the show as often. So maybe I would try to show up for that segment even when I'm not showing up for the show. So I could the other thing is, like, if you get it right, do you have to bring the person the next week, or am I always bringing the person?
I mean, it depends. I guess
I'm saying, do I have more notables? Do I have more notables in my phone?
I think, like, you lead the room in notables.
Yes, I think Kyle might secretly.
It'll be my mama, my daddy, my girl. Like, that's all the only people I know, my friends.
He's like, I got Pookie. Like,
are you Kyle Wallace's baby girl? Yes or no?
Who's the most famous person in your cell phone right now, Kyle?
Nick Ballore. Shout out to my boy Nicky B or Corey Lucius.
Nice game for him last night.
Yeah, he did. He had 3 tackles on special teams, man. He was showing out for the 4-1-4. I don't really have. I'm just a regular guy from Milwaukee.
Wow, I watched the whole game. I didn't even
notice
him.
Yeah, Greg has
no
idea who that is.
No, I know who he is. Yeah. I didn't even know. He
literally had 3 special teams tackles yesterday.
Look at Scott's face.
I mean, special teams tackles. What are we doing right now?
No, I mean, that's big time.
No, not for your phone. That's actually sad for your phone.
Yeah, that's not great.
I mean, what am I supposed to say? I'm me. See, I'm normal. You guys are normal.
No, you have people in your phone, I bet you.
I swear I do not. I am just bigger than
you. Got a line into the White House, don't you?
Yeah, I don't have a line to Joe Biden.
Okay.
What's up with TikTok? You know, you talk to him about that when you talk to Joe Biden?
I'm dancing that it's gone. I'm happy it's gone.
What's actually up with TikTok? You're a TikTok guy.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know that I'm a TikTok guy. I know what it is. I have it.
That because you joined us one time on a TikTok Live. So have you opened it in the last 12 hours?
Yeah, of course.
And so it goes, hey, you can't open it.
Yeah, I mean,
of course,
I wanted to open it to see if I would get the same message that I was reading about in the articles. And I got a message saying,
genius.
Do you know what the message says?
Yeah, it basically said that they're no longer operating. Right?
No.
There's a second paragraph.
No. That is where it's pretty interesting, right? It says, if you open your TikTok, sorry, TikTok isn't available right now. A law banning TikTok has been enacted in the U.S. Unfortunately, that means you can't use TikTok for now. We are fortunate that President Trump has indicated he will work with us on a solution to reinstate TikTok once he takes office. Please stay tuned.
Yeah.
That's what my TikTok
said. Big one tomorrow. Watch out.
TikTok.
MLK Day. Inauguration. CFP.
Big day tomorrow.
Big Monday.
Yes.
Massive Monday. It's a good thing we have off. A good thing a lot of people have off, you know, to be able to take in everything that's going to be happening tomorrow.
You'll be in Atlanta?
I'll be in Atlanta.
You leaving today?
I'm leaving today.
Do you have a rooting interest?
No.
Okay.
We have the Ohio State rights in Cleveland, but I've never taken to them the way I've taken to most GKB teams. I don't know if it's because my Wisconsin, you know, long-term connection, or that we don't make enough money off Ohio State for it to be relevant to me. I think that's probably more what it is. Yeah. I like Coach Freeman. It's very interesting if he goes to Notre Dame. If he goes to the Bears, you know, that's an interesting little storyline.
Oh my gosh, the Bears suck.
How about
this? Is what they're doing?
I mean, the Bears are just as good as all the other NFC North teams.
No,
they all suck.
They're actually worse than I thought.
Nah, the Bears are just as good as all those other crappy NFC North teams that can't go anywhere.
False.
I mean, they just beat up each other all year. You know, that's how the Lions went 15-2, you know, just beating up on none of us thought there could be an NFC championship this year without an NFC North team, right?
No, certainly not. I mean, it was most surprising yesterday. I think I at least felt like the Vikings were very vulnerable, right?
Yes.
Just because Sam Darnold's a quarterback, you're going on the road for all these games. He's a different guy on the road than at home. Having the number one seed for the Lions with how dominant they've been and then watching them cough that up against the rookie quarterback was really surprising.
I hit the Commanders hard on the, not on the money line, just on the, you know, with the points. So I can't say I called the straight up. Now, wait. So
I took the under on what might have been the worst totals bet of all time.
You took the what? Did it hit the over in the first half?
Just about. I think they had 54 in the first
half. Yeah, the total was 55.
And it was 54 at the half?
As soon as the second quarter happened, it's like, oh, There you go.
Yeah. I mean, have you watched either of those teams play this year?
I have, but it's also, I mean, my reasoning, clearly wrong, right? Yeah. Like, if you gamble enough, you just are accustomed to being wrong.
Yep.
The reasoning to me was, A, playoff games are different. B, rookie quarterback going on the road to Detroit. And C, I thought that both teams were going to try to run the ball. Like, I thought it was going to turn into one of those games with long drives. And 55 is a lot of points.
It is. It is. I mean, the pick sixes didn't help your cause.
No, certainly not. And, I mean, in some of the trick play calls.
Amongst
like,
800
just,
other things, right?
Yeah. I would have hit. I would one bet that missed because Jameson Williams needed his longest catch to be 20 yards. On the first play of the game, he caught a 19-yard pass and then never caught a longer one.
They're so good.
That's why gambling is just the worst. And that was on Underdog, Kyle. That was on your Underdog. I would have gone 4 for 4 and hit a big big little Underdog thing. Use what keyword should you use if you're joining Underdog?
ESPN Kyle W.
Wow, that's a lot. So you join Underdog and you and the code has to be ESPN Kyle W?
It does now, yes.
Yeah, and then you get a bunch.
How did it become such a long promo code?
You got to talk to Underdog.
All right.
But you get a lot of good stuff. You got, what'd you say? Not a partner right now?
Off air.
Oh, off air. Oh, don't use Underdog then right now. Join it once we can get a better code. Once Kyle's back and we can get a better code, then we'll get Underdog going.
We're just
going
to try to work it to like three different layers now. It's not just ESPN, Kyle W. It's gonna be like ESPN Kyle W. Packers backer. You know, something just as long as it can be.
All right, wait. So are we aligned? Am I going to try to get someone for today at 11?
I love the idea. Can you carry 50 weeks?
No. Well, here, no. He's not going to be here 50 weeks. This is based off his 25-week schedule.
So is this only when I'm here? Or are you saying it's a bad idea because I'm not here consistently?
So, like, next week when it's you two, I guess who's the most famous person in your phone?
No, or do I need to still deliver someone even though I'm not here?
You're going to probably have to deliver. Stroph is going to be trying to reach out to people. They're going to say no.
He may have people like, who the hell are you?
But then it's kind of weird for them to join without me here. Oh, no, I'm just at a 50th birthday party next week in Florida. So I could join for that segment. So that could be like the segment that I join on. You know, I could join if you guys want this segment to be the segment. I could join on the 7 at 11.
I like the idea.
Now the question.
Nah, did you hear that voice?
Yeah,
I do.
That was not very convincing.
I worry it's going to get really weird in July and August. It could be really fun in January, February, March.
You're saying because we'll run out of people, or there's something about the summer that makes things different.
What questions am I going to be asking in August? Right, because we're going to go through this thing every week.
Wait,
right.
Are you talking about like the seasonality of it? Like you're worried in the summertime?
No, it's not the seasonality of it. I worry about how we're going to go from like A-list names.
No, I'm not starting with A-list names by no means. Are
so
you thinking
is Steve
this is...
Polizzino going to be on the phone?
No. These are people that I would think that our listeners would enjoy a conversation with.
And in 7 questions, you think I'll be able to figure it out?
You should be. I don't know. That's kind of the fun part of it.
Do you have anybody in mind for today?
I have a few people in mind for today.
Let's try it today.
Let's give it a shot.
I like the idea. I like the concept.
Okay, now, but can we commit to getting to the break schedule on time? Because if I tell someone, like, hey, you're joining us at 11 o'clock,
Craig,
like, oftentimes we get there at, like, 11:30.
But hold on a minute. That's a you thing. You're running the show. You're the one that talks to Jason Wilde the most when he joins us from 10:30 to 11. That's going to be up to you.
But if we had done that last week, would that have been worth losing the magic that we had last week? All the
Dirty Al with 5 middle names. Absolutely.
I think we can hit it on time.
Okay. You think we can hit it on time?
I like your blind confidence.
I think we can.
Let's practice today.
If it's worthwhile, like if you know that you've got a good guest coming up at 11, you're going to...
Okay, now last question on that. If they do have a really distinctive voice, should they be trying to, you know, trying to hide their voice? Or, like, should they just be them? And then, like, if you just hear them say yes, you're like, oh, it's Barry Alvarez. We all know Barry's voice.
So I was just about to bring up Barry as the example. If I hear Barry's voice at 11 o'clock, all I'm asking about is Xavier Lucas and the NIL thing.
But
so.
Forget what you're asking, but you'd know he's Barry Alvarez, which makes...
Do you think you have 7 yes or no questions for the guest? You have 7 yes or no questions to determine who the guest is.
Yeah.
And then we
No, then you don't have to ask yes or no questions.
Oh, okay. Once we figure it out,
you thought it was just like we were going to bring on Barry Alvarez and you had to ask him seven yes or no questions.
I thought for the fans' sake, we had to drag this thing out as long as we could, even if we knew the answer.
No, once you get his,
Yes, I'm an idiot, Greg.
One of the yes or no questions would be, are you Barry Alvarez? And if he says yes, then it's over.
Yeah, then that it's counts. Done.
So do we only get seven questions amongst all of us?
Yes.
So you and I would take turns.
And Kyle.
Would you guys stop getting frustrated with me? We've talked about this for 3 minutes.
We talked about this for 15 minutes now.
And we're already going to be late for Wildy.
I was going to say, we should probably practice being on time.
Yeah. But, so the question is, if Greg's like, are you an athlete? And they say yes, does Greg get to ask the second question or does it go to Kyle? Like if they say yes to his question, does he keep control?
I think you keep control.
I think it's got to be like discussed beforehand.
Oh, you're doing as a team? So it's more of a team sport?
I think it's a team sport, okay. Right?
So that's why I didn't know if... Because when you were saying, what are we competing for? I was thinking there could be some like, hey, whoever comes in last, whoever guesses the least right.
Oh, no. My thought was like, you pick the guest and you win if we don't get them and we win if we do get it.
Yeah. But then I'm...
What do we win?
Then I'm... Well, we can figure that out later. But then I'm incentivized to get more obscure people. And then you're going to be like ripping on the person while they're on because you're like, oh, we didn't get
it. I thought that was the whole point. You know, is next thing you know, we've got like
part of this.
Well, that's if you don't get it in the seven guesses, then callers start to get, they get to jump in on the yes, no questions.
All right. And then do they get to interview the guest as well? Now, that's a win.
Yeah,
that's a prize.
I think the person who gets the answer, if they get a yes.
Maybe they get the first
they
question.
They get to stay on. Yeah, they get the first question. I like it. What would your first question be to Barry Alvarez about Xavier Lucas that you're so interested in?
Well, have you read into this?
Yeah.
So he signed a contract and then...
A binding agreement.
Right, a binding agreement. And then he left. He went to Miami. And then him and his lawyer essentially said, hey, NCAA, the transfer portal isn't real.
Yeah.
Right? So he unenrolled from classes, enrolled in classes at Miami, and is immediately eligible to play athletics.
Yeah.
That's very strange to me in the era we live in.
Yeah. And you don't have to ask Barry a yes, no question about that, just so you know.
Okay. Yes or no, the government needs to step in just like they did on TikTok.
To keep Xavier Lucas.
Yes.
Yeah, Barry, do you think the governor should step in and ban transfer portals?
Day one for President Trump.
Executive
Xavier
order.
Lucas, TikTok.
There you go.
Put it across his desk at the Oval Office.
I wouldn't be shocked if that's what was on the radar. All right, we will finalize this stuff, and I guess I have to try to find a guest for today. As we roll on, it's Sunday Karma, ESPN Wisconsin.
This is Sunday Karma with Craig Karmazin on ESPN Wisconsin and WisconsinOnDemand.com. Sunday Karma with Craig Karmazin on ESPN Wisconsin and WisconsinOnDemand.com.
All right, we have breaking news coming in to the Sunday Karma news desk that Kyle Wallace might be trying to pull some shenanigans, some payola plugola that's actually FCC illegal.
Uh oh, what lies?
Kyle's a rule follower. We learned that last week.
Let's be real. This is recorded now. Any slander or libel can be used against you. You know, Gruber one call, that's all. That's my homie too, Craig.
Yes, it is. Although apparently Nick Ballour is more famous, assuming you have his number.
I do not have Cooper's. I have 414-276-6666.
Direct line.
Yeah, I got the line we all got.
One call, that's all. So Josh DiMaggio, unnamed source, says that Kyle might be giving out that underdog code because that's his personal kickback, like where you get like, you know, you get a little free
$50.
Money if you refer it to a friend.
You asked me for a code, so I gave you the code.
We thought that was like a above board promo code. Now it makes sense why it's Kyle W.
ESPN.
Kyle W.
I didn't want to give you a defunct code.
Underscore baby daddy, baby mama, mama's babies.
I'm not going to give you a defunct code. I gave a code I knew people could utilize.
All right. Well, let's.
Do they get anything for that code, or are you the only one that gets something for that code?
I think they get something too.
They get like $5 and he gets $100.
No, I think we both get like $50.
All right, we have a lot to get to today, including the passing of Bob Uecker this week. We, of course, are the home of the Milwaukee Brewers in Madison, where we have you've listened to the Brewers for zero consecutive seasons, but it all starts this year. A new era in Madison with ESPN Madison as the home of the Milwaukee Brewers. But it has been WTMJ forever. Greg, you are the market manager for Milwaukee. Bob Uecker's been such a part of all of our lives, but I guess what was your reaction and your take as a legend leaves us this week?
I think that it's similar to most people. You know, it's unfortunate, but it was like an incredible life lived.
But you're from Boston originally, the Boston area. Before you came here, like did you have any feel for Uecker?
I would say, like, if you were to do a national poll, Uecker's probably like his work with the Brewers might be the third or fourth thing that he's most
at
famous
best.
For.
Yeah. You but know, I'm like, saying, I assumed before I moved here that there was a play-by-play guy and that Uecker was the color guy. Because, like, even in Major League, there was, like, a guy next to him who was, like, theoretically, like, part of the team, mm-hmm. which I assume was supposed to be the play-by-play guy, and he is the former athlete, would actually be the color commentator. But, Alex, I assume you just grew up listening to Uecker.
Yeah, as long as I remember. I mean, like Greg said, it's just an incredible life, right? And you know, doing, you know, reading stuff on him, you know, after his passing on Thursday. This guy's in, like, every Hall of Fame that's ever existed. I told Kyle and the guys this on KBN on Thursday. Like, he's in the WWE Hall of Fame. He's in the Milwaukee Performing Arts Hall of Fame. He's in the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association Hall of Fame. Obviously, the Baseball Hall of Fame. Like, he's in every
Frick
Hall of Fame.
Winner, which, Kyle, I was listening to KBN. You guys played the speech. It was pretty amazing just to listen to how, I mean, the guy was as self-deprecating as anyone could be. What was your Uecker thing?
Yeah, overall for me, for Uecker, it's the fact that it just brought back memories growing up. And I talked about it on KBN, it's the connection it went to my grandfather, right? My grandfather, somebody who grew up who enjoyed playing stickball, as he called it, but sitting there in the living room in his chair listening to radio while the TV was on. I think so many of us who have grandparents were born in the early 1900s, right? And we grew up going to their house, and they probably did the exact same thing. They had that specific chair that they sat in. They had that black stereo right there next to them. They probably had the TV station on, but they had Bob Uecker playing. So for me, that was the connection to Bob Uecker and to my family, was the fact that I got to listen to watch my grandpa listen to Bob and listen to baseball with him.
I feel like I had to do that also. Like, I started, like, listening to games on the TMJ app because, like, once I became a cord cutter, I couldn't. For a while, I didn't have the Brewers games before I did my direct to consumer, so I could watch the Bucks games. I literally didn't have it, and it was like old school. Like, I would sit mm-hmm. with my phone, you know, doing work or doing whatever in the house, and I'd have the Brewers game in the background. And I feel like it was so much the soundtrack of summer, which you hear a lot. But it's not just the summer; like, it's half the year, you know, that you would have him in that background. And like you said, Greg, it's three or four different things, right? Like, I saw him as Mr. Belvedere. I saw him as Miller Lite. I saw him as
Harry Doyle.
I saw him as Harry Doyle. And I saw him, like, I legit, like, game of the week was a big deal. Like, Strophy and Kyle, there's no way it was ever for you guys, right?
Mm-mm.
Greg, was it for you?
Mm-mm.
No? So, like, ABC, when I was little, like, I remember before my grandfather died, too. Like, we would watch, like, we'd come home from bowling, we'd go bowling, and then we'd watch the game of the week on the Major League Baseball game of the week. See, isn't that how you pictured me growing up?
Totally, yes. I just like you were like, when you were little, Greg, were you around there too?
No, because Greg's like older than Kyle, right?
We're like the same age. We're all born the same generation. We're all millennials.
No. Strophy's way younger.
Okay, well, I mean, wait, you know.
All right, Kyle versus Greg. What's the age difference?
Greg's a year older than me.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's like a generation in baseball-wise, it could have been.
Could have been,
yeah. Like, 13 right, months, 10
Kyle,
months.
What's the first World Series you remember?
The first World Series I remember? Oh, man. You know what? I the one that really stands out to me, because you see them when you're a kid.
Yeah.
But the biggest one was the Florida Marlins when they won, because Craig Counsell, who is now, you know, no longer
Wait, you were
11, I think. It was 2001, I think, or 90. 2001, I think they won a World Series, something like that.
No, it was
or 99.
No, it was 97. He won it in 01 with the Diamondbacks.
Okay, well maybe. I just remember Craig Counsell like being in the World Series, and that's what I remember.
Okay,
I remember, so 2001 with the Diamondbacks, what I remember. Now, clearly before that, I remember I think the Braves.
Okay, so 01 at the Diamondbacks. Which one do you remember?
95, that Braves.
See,
World
he's six
Series.
Years older than you in baseball terms.
Well, no,
that's
probably,
what I'm telling
his
you.
Family
he's,
probably was a baseball family.
Big time baseball
the Brewers,
family. Yeah.
Oh, Mr. My grandfather's listening to all the games. Oh, but you're out of base. You are embarrassing your family.
Craig,
you ignored your
Craig,
grandfather.
Craig.
And his transistor radio and his stickball. Did you even ever play stickball with your grandfather?
I of course not. You're a transplant. You got to understand, the Brewers season ended in... What, September?
September.
That's when it ended. So after that, whatever was on TV, my parents weren't watching. My grandpa wasn't listening to that because the season was over.
We'll talk with Davey Lopes, who will be our 7-11 mystery guest as we continue today. Jason Wilde next. It's Sunday Karma, ESPN Wisconsin.
This is Sunday Karma with Craig Karmazin on ESPN Wisconsin and WisconsinOnDemand.com.
Set to work. Runners lead. First, second, and third to pitch. Hit to left and deep. Get up! Get up! Get out of here! Gone! Jackson Churio just hit one with the bases loaded.
We have 10 people here, and we have the one person producing who doesn't remember to turn mics on.
Turn my mic on. I gotta turn.
He didn't turn my mic off after last segment.
Yeah, Greg's mic was on the whole commercial.
A little bit behind the scenes here.
Is there a way that Kyle, you lose?
Sagan?
Yeah, is there a way you would lose the job of being producer and get demoted to being host?
No, I mean I was called. That's on me. Our last segment. The mic wasn't off, so I turned everybody's mic down and off, and I discovered, like, what mic is what. And so I'm all...
How long
you just discovered
producing?
That you've been here.
That's literally on the test in order to pass being a producer.
The co-host seat is his. I didn't know that. I'm just used to having me and Craig, and then I just pod people up. But last time I was like, uh-oh, I still hear somebody, so I turned everybody down. I'm like, let me just turn everybody down because I hear something, and I feel like I turned this off. But then, so it's...
In Kyle's defense, he was grandfathered in. There was no producer test when he became producer of Sunday
Karma. If Ashton is listening, hopefully Kyle gets demoted. That's all I'm saying. All right, Jason Wilde does join us. I've said it four times, but this is the first time my mic is on. Good morning, Jason.
In fairness to Kyle, I'm at a volleyball tournament, and I was asking him how much time I had. I needed to get outside, so there wasn't screaming. I think I distracted him. So give him some grace and blame me.
So I don't know if TikTok impacts this or if this is Instagram. All I'm saying, Jason, is... my daughter this week said that your daughter is legit at gymnastics, and she is a tough critic. She said the routines are legit. So I don't know what's going on in volleyball, but the gymnastics are certified legit via the formerly defunct TikTok or maybe Instagram. But Jason, let's start with the fact that there is no NFC North team in the NFC Championship. How surprised are you?
Yeah, I'm surprised. Despite everything that the Lions have gone through defensively this year, I thought that they would win that game. I'm really happy for my buddy Joe Witt, who's the defensive coordinator for the Commanders. I think holding the Lions to 31 points is actually an accomplishment with that offense. Getting those turnovers last night was remarkable. So I was not expecting Washington to be able to win on the road. And again, I always have to give credit to Tausch. He's a smart guy. We'll see what Philly does today. But he was convinced that if the Packers won, they would go to Detroit and win. I'm not 100% sure he would have been right on that. But it's clear that it's not impossible to go to Ford Field and beat a team that's, you know, decimated on the defensive side of the ball. So I do find myself wondering if all that talk about the best division in football was in part because they played two of the worst divisions in football and padded their records by doing so.
Interesting. As we talk to Jason Wilde. So, Jason, does this recalibrate any of your thoughts on the Packers, given what's happened to the Vikings and the Lions in the postseason?
No, it's made me recalibrate my opinion of all three teams, right? Like, and look, the NFL scheduling formula is what it is. And if you look at all three of those teams, they obviously had really good records. But I don't know, today, this year was just a strange year. Like, it felt like, you know, I wasn't convinced of who was actually good and who wasn't. And I feel like most seasons, you know, you kind of have a pretty good handle on, okay, this team is one of the best teams in the league. And when I would watch, and Tausch was a doubter of the Vikings too, but I thought, okay, their defense is really good. They've got their quarterback playing really well. They've obviously got a productive running back and good wide receivers. They're legit. I look at the Lions. I would say this, if they had not been decimated on the defensive side of the ball, I think they are the best team in the league. Like, I think they're better than the Chiefs if they have their guys. But they were so decimated on that side of the ball that I became a doubter as the season wore on. What I think is interesting,
which, by the way, Jason, just the Aiden Hutchinson injury was a big deal. And that was like, that even feels like a separate story than like them losing everyone.
Correct.
Which happened after.
Yep. Exactly. And obviously he's the field tilting player that you had to account for on every single snap, right? Like the guy like Reggie White was, or Leroy Butler was, or Charles Woodson was. And that obviously is huge.
Or Latroy Guyon was. when he had to move from guard to like left guard to right guard. I know that was a big.
Everybody remembers. That.
Everybody remembers.
I forgot to pull that after we got done last week. So what I'm saying is that, you know, I think what I also learned yesterday on our drive back from Eau Claire for the girls' gymnastics meets was the Chiefs, they make the most critical plays and they don't beat themselves. Right? And that's the difference. And the Packers, you kept hearing the Packers talk about how over and over again they would say, well, we beat ourselves. And that's good teams don't do that.
But don't you think that's part of being the youngest team in football? Like, that's part of what they've chosen to do.
No, and look, I would, if Brian Gutekunst is going to tell us that age ain't nothing but a number, Aaliyah, then I'm sticking with that. Because he's the one creating that expectation. And I would also argue by the end of the season, and this has been said about rookies forever, you're not a rookie anymore, right? Like, by the time you get to the end of the season, the whole philosophy of their roster building approach is we're going to build this team and we're going to live through the growing pains during the first two-thirds of the season because we believe that on the other side they're going to come out as top-flight players. And I would argue that last year you saw that offensively, and I would say this year you saw that defensively, right? You saw it with Edgerrin Cooper. If there hadn't been injury issues for Evan Williams, I think you would have seen that with Evan Williams. I mean, they're as good as Xavier McKinney is. One of the things that they love about Evan Williams is he's good enough and smart enough to allow them to do more things with Xavier McKinney that they weren't able to do when they were playing other guys at that safety spot. So I don't, if they're going to say, and this was something that Goody was adamant about, right? The final question that I asked in the press conference at the end of the week was about, you know, this is great. You talked a lot about growth and how much your guys improved, but the bottom line is you went 11-6 and you lost in the first round of the playoffs. So what were you disappointed by this season? And what are you challenging your guys for next year? And his message was there's got to be a greater sense of urgency. And I took that to mean that he feels like with these young guys on the team, there's a mentality of, well, there's always next year. We're such a young team. We're still building. And that's how I looked at it too. But he clearly believes that these opportunities that they had last year and they have this year. Once you're there, you can't use the youthful excuse anymore, because you don't know if next year you're going to have the kind of year that the Lions had with injuries, and you're not going to get to the playoffs at all if you're missing that many pieces. So I'm fascinated. I think this is going to be the most interesting offseason they've had in perhaps a decade or more, because they're going to have free agency money to spend. They're going to have more draft picks to extend their – to put on more young players that they're going to be excited about. And they've got a really good core on both sides of the ball. So I can't wait for this offseason to see what they do, because I think Goody made it very clear that the expectation next season is to compete for championships.
Jason Wilde joining us here on Sunday Karma across ESPN Wisconsin. Jason, does that sense of urgency apply to Gutekunst? Because you said it yourself, like, they are poised, right, to hit this window. And I think the three best teams in the NFL are all in the AFC, right, between the Ravens, the Bills, and the Chiefs. The Niners don't feel like the team that they used to be. It's possible that both coordinators on the Lions end up becoming head coaches elsewhere, and there's a depletion of their,
yeah,
of their coaching talent.
Especially after that great Lions defensive performance yesterday.
Really impressive.
You trust the Jets to not hire Aaron Glenn? But it does feel like there's sort of this real window in the NFC for a team like the Packers, but we've also seen a decade-plus track record of this franchise wanting to take, and I know it's a Brewers term, but it applies with the Packers, bites at the apple, right? Like, of just, hey, right, we're not trying to go all – but do you get – if urgency is the word in Goody's head, do you expect that to also apply to his group in the front office?
Yeah, I think it does, and I think with the financial wherewithal they're going to have in free agency, I think he's going to be aggressive. I do, because I do think that he feels like – and look, let's remember, too, when we talk about free agency with this team, it is – Xavier McKinney is the poster child for what they look for in free agency, just like Za'Darius Smith was. Guys that are coming off their first – contracts that weren't first-round picks, so they have 4 years of experience. They're in that 25 to 26-year-old age group, and they think their best football is still ahead of them. They're not going to overpay for veteran players, but they're going to pay for potential. And McKinney paid off hugely. You know, if we're being honest about Josh Jacobs, he obviously paid off great too. He's a little different because he was going into his sixth NFL season, right, because he was a first-round pick. But the same idea applies, and that I'm eager to see what kind of young player fits that mold for them, because I know that there's Packers fans that think they're going to add T. Higgins and Davante Adams and Myles Garrett and Max Crosby. And I'll be curious if any of those guys actually end up on this team, or if it's a edge rusher that we don't necessarily realize how good they can be. I mean, Za'Darius Smith, most sacks when he was with the Ravens was 8.5. And then what did he have? 13.5 his first year with them and 12.5 the second. And then he didn't have any guaranteed money left, so he quit on them in 21. I'm eager to see if that's what this looks like this time around. If there's a guy that we're not all that familiar with that comes in, is an edge rusher that helps them more than, say, a Max Crosby, whose name we obviously all recognize.
We will have more with Jason Wilde as we continue. It's Sunday Karma, ESPN Wisconsin.
It's Sunday Karma with Craig Karmazin on ESPN Wisconsin and WisconsinOnDemand.com. This is Sunday Karma with Craig Karmazin on ESPN Wisconsin and WisconsinOnDemand.com.
Normally I get to talk to, are we on? The mic's on and stuff, Kyle? Oh, yeah. Normally I get to hang with Wilde during the break, but then now I have all these people here. I don't know if I should talk to Wilde or not. Jason and I didn't get to catch up as we continue with Jason Wilde. He's out at volleyball. He's telling us there. Oh,
something good happened.
Yeah. There's seemingly some urgency around the Packers. And Jason, you brought up like the rush ends and the receivers, which seem like the two sexy versions of this, but like, we came off of last year saying, like, the Packers are in the dream place for wide receivers, right? And especially with the tight ends, like, there's nothing to worry about. And now it seems like there's everything to worry about. Where, I know you are not, Jason is normally not hyperbolic. He does not, he's not prone to hyperbole, but he did just drop that this will be the most intriguing offseason in 10 years. So this new clickbait hyperbole, Jason Wilde, Jason, is it 0 or 10? What do you think about these wide receivers?
Yeah, that's not hyperbole, and here's why. This is another good example, right? Because, and I said this to Goody on Thursday when we talked to him, like, he's been here as long, I've actually been covering the team a little bit longer than he's worked for it. But
do you have, did you tell him that? You're like, I said this to
him.
I said this to Goody. Hey, I've been here longer. I know this team better than you.
Not the second sentence for sure, but the first sentence is he and I, you know, he came up through the scouting side at essentially the same time as I did during my time covering the team. And I went through the lineage of number one wide receivers, right? Like before I got on the beat, it was Sterling Sharp. Then it was Robert Brooks. Then it was Antonio Freeman. Then it was Donald Driver. Then it was Greg Jennings. Then it was Jordy Nelson. Then it was Davante Adams. And that's the list. Right. Ever since Davante Adams was traded, they really haven't had a number one wide receiver. It was Alan Lazard.
I was going to say, no respect for Alan Lazard here, Jason.
I know.
Wait, was it Alan Lazard?
Yeah, for that 1 year.
Was it really?
That, I mean,
for that
statistically, absolutely.
They didn't go anywhere. Right.
Yeah. Wow.
So my point is that, and my point of my question was, do you need to get a guy who can be a number one wide receiver, or is someone going to emerge? And do you need someone to emerge that you know on 3rd and 8, he's the guy that you're going to go to? And to me, that's the difference. Like, we all, you know, Tausch loves to use the Friends cast versus J.R. Ewing because both of those are very timely TV references. But the fact of the matter is that they don't have a guy that you know that they can count on, like Davante or like Jordy.
So Jason, when you're saying that, does that include tight end?
Yeah, look, I love Tucker Kraft.
No, but I'm just saying in general, because the Chiefs obviously let Tyreek Hill go, but you can't argue that Kelce even still is that go-to.
Super Bowl teams always have a number one target, right?
Right. So you're saying
to your point, Travis Kelce is that guy.
So Jason, we're talking number one target, right? Not necessarily wide receiver.
Yeah. Yep. Right. So could Tucker Kraft be that guy? Theoretically, yes. But I don't think their offense is designed the same way as, say, Kansas City's is, where it's, look, this is designed to scheme wide receivers open. And that's a whole nother discussion we can have about the fact that at the end of the season, you know, Matt LaFleur and Jordan Love are talking about how important it is that guys win their one-on-one matchups. And I was having flashbacks to Mike McCarthy because that's what that offense had been predicated on. And that is one thing that I said to LaFleur in his season wrap up is, you know, you talked down the stretch about guys winning one-on-ones, but I remember when you got here, all of us were talking about, oh my God, I can't believe how open guys are schemed in this system. So why didn't that happen as much? And then that led to the further discussion of the lack of play action success. So that's why this off season, it's not hyperbole about how fascinating it's going to be, because it's going to be who is going to make a jump. Jordan Love is in a critical year to elevate his game. What are they going to add from a personnel standpoint? But also, how is Matt LaFleur going to reinvent this offense to be more compatible with the way they like to run the football with Josh Jacobs? Because there's no doubt that Josh Jacobs was extremely productive, right? He was, I think, 4th in rushing in the league. But there was a disconnect between the way they ran their running game and the play-action marriage to it. And when that doesn't work, this offense is not getting guys open the way it had in previous years with Aaron Jones, who obviously ran in an outside zone scheme that was way more well-suited for their play-action game to work off of.
Jason, real quick, we got 30 seconds. Tell me Jeff Hafley will be back in Green Bay next year after he finishes his head coaching interview with the New York Jets. He'll be back, right?
Yeah, so his interview is done. I don't know if he'll get a second interview. But, look, they're interviewing almost as many people as the Bears are, right? I mean, I'm surprised Jim Rutledge hasn't gotten a Bears interview yet.
Hey,
so if we're looking at Halfley, I think much like I thought the Packers were a year away from competing for a Super Bowl, I think he's probably another successful year or two away from being a hot NFL head coaching candidate. So I know you're worried about that stroke. I think he's probably another really good defensive season away from being that guy.
There you have it. The action seems hot and heavy going on in Green Bay on the volleyball courts. We'll let you get back to it. Thanks for joining us as always, Jason.
Thanks, Jason.
All right, guys. I appreciate you. Take care. Be good.
Craig, you've interviewed Jim Rutledge before for jobs. How would he do in a head coaching interview?
From ESPN Madison, Jim Rutledge? Yes. I do not think I've ever interviewed him for a position.
Really?
Yeah. Because I can't imagine he would have gotten any positions, and I think he's gotten most positions he's grown into in this company. So, yeah. So I don't think I've ever interviewed
him. Well, how do you think he would do if the Bears called him and said, hey, we're just looking for an outside voice?
I'm just impressed that they actually listened to your idea, because last Sunday you said, you know what the Bears should do is they should try to trade a pick for Mike Tomlin.
And they looked into it.
They did. And, was that Phil Foden? Oh, no, it's not. Oh, wait, is it?
Nobody has any idea what the hell you're talking about.
Brand new 7-11 coming up next on Sunday Karma.
It's Sunday Karma with Craig Karmazin on ESPN Wisconsin and WisconsinOnDemand.com.